James.
Raph.
What's your favorite vape flavor?
I'm a creme brulee guy.
Ooh, very classy.
Very, very classy. None of this sort of like fairy floss, bubble gum sort of crap. You know, I want something that's a little bit classy.
Yeah. I'm more of like a lick stick kind of guy.
Lick stick?
Yeah. Icy pole.
Icy pole. Oh, yeah, of course. Yeah, I'm sort of like, I've got my musk stick flavored vape.
Yeah, Chopper Chop is my favorite vape flavor. Oh, you're Kinder Surprise. I'm a Kinder Surprise guy at the end of the day. I'm going to be honest. Kinder Surprise vape.
I'm a Kettle Honey Soy Crisps vape flavor guy.
I used to be a Kettle Wood Fired Barbecue, but they stopped making it.
Oh, yeah, because the government said you couldn't make those anymore.
Yeah. Too smoky.
Vapes.
Vapes. And we probably should also say, because the listener loves to not imagine that we're here talking to them. They like to visualize the studio we're in because we always talk about it. We're back to our old haunts.
We hope that you had a wonderful Easter.
Yes, indeed. Long weekend.
We're recording this on Easter Monday.
It's the freaking long weekend.
As a result, our high-tech studio is unavailable and we've had to return back to...
The glass table.
Original Down Around fans will be pleased to hear that we're recording on the ultra-sensitive glass table and all the clattering and clinking and whatever that comes with. And we're here to talk about... Well, we're here to talk about vaping, but we're
also... A blast from the future.
That's it. That's what Down Around's all about. We're here also to talk about a few other little trends that have sort of emerged in the world of tobacco and nicotine. Because, you know, that's how we make it into an episode that's worthy of Down Around.
Yes.
It's got to have a bit of a modern tech twist.
Well, that's the whole thing, right? The beauty of vapes is a Silicon Valley story.
It's a Silicon Valley story. So, to set the scene, we don't need to take you through the long history of tobacco consumption. We're going to start. It's the year 1625. We're in Jamaica, folks. The tobacco plantations. No, we're
going to assume you understand what cigarettes are.
We're not going to explain what a cigarette is or what it does to you or how cool it makes you look. Very. We all know that by the end of the 20th century and into the 21st century, everyone came to the shocking conclusion that smoking is not that good for you.
No.
Crazy. Crazy. It's not that good for you. But there used to be, and still are, a bunch of very, very large tobacco concerns. You know, companies like Philip Morris, British American Tobacco, a bunch of others. Yeah. You may recall the famous Warren Buffett quote, which I'm going to paraphrase for you right now, which is that he used to love tobacco businesses because they cost a dollar to make, you sell them for 10, and they're addictive.
Yes.
Amazing.
Let's start with, of all the business models, and we've talked about some good ones, Google being one. But like selling a product that is literally physiologically addictive.
Yeah, and unbelievably cheap to make. And of all the crops you can grow, tobacco pretty much grows everywhere.
Yeah, as far as like business models are concerned, that's a good one, folks. If you can find something that is highly addictive and easy to grow, maybe, and this requires more processing, but poppy seeds, for example.
Tobacco has always been drying a leaf and wrapping it in paper.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Imagine if tea was highly addictive.
Yeah, exactly. Phenomenal business. But we all know that most of the tobacco companies spent the second half of the 20th century trying to convince everyone that the scientists saying that you are almost guaranteed to get lung cancer if you smoke these were lying.
Putting smoke into things that are made for oxygen is not good.
It's not good.
No, what do you mean it's not good?
Come on. Cigarettes bad. I think we can all agree, even if you're a lover of a dart, a coffee and a cigarette, a beer and a cigarette, you know, if you're a lover of those things, you would have to concede that cigarettes are pretty bad.
Mm.
For many, many years, people have attempted to sort of think about smokeless solutions for consuming tobacco and consuming nicotine. So for decades, people have sort of been experimenting with various vaporizing solutions. The idea that you can turn tobacco leaves or any other kind of leaf that you can possibly imagine into vapor rather than smoke. The big innovation happened in the early 2000s in China. A Chinese chemist by the name of Hon Lik invented a e-cigarette because his father had died of lung cancer and he was trying to imagine a new future for this stuff. The early 2000s was when the first vaporizers sort of hit the scene. And yes, the original form factor was literally like an e-cigarette, like a little tiny cylinder.
It looked like a cigarette.
And it was even had like the orange and white color coding and things like that.
Yeah, and like when you sucked on it, at the end was like a red LED.
A red LED. Because you got to remember, cigarettes,
cool as hell.
They're cool as hell. Something vapes have not really been able to overcome. Mm. Nobody's been able to figure out the secret sauce to make vapes cool. Although, as we'll get into, potentially the vape companies are quite happy that they're not cool, because that does sort of attract attention. Anyway, people thought e-cigarettes were kind of goofy. It was really only the sort of the insane hobbyists that were getting into it.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it looked like, oh, cute, you're trying to quit cigarettes. And yeah. Like, you're so kind of addicted that you have this, like, electronic device in your mouth.
Exactly.
Like, so you're no longer, you're literally the opposite of cool. You're like, it's like a, you know, if you've got like coolness with like, if you smoke a dart and you're hot or whatever, it's obviously 10 out of 10 cool. And then if you smoke a dart and you're not hot, it's like kind of 5 out of 10 cool. And if you don't smoke darts and you're hot, you're 4 out of 10 cool. Mm-hmm. And if you don't smoke darts and you're ugly, you're like 2 out of 10 cool. If you smoke e-cigarettes and you're hot, you're at 1.
This is the RAF taxonomy of smoking coolness, folks. Feel free to agree or disagree. So a lot of different vaporizers came out again through the 2000s and early 2010s. It was kind of like a nerdish sort of fixation. It was it was definitely sort of like weed coded.
Yes, absolutely.
Like the reason you'd get super into vaporizers is because you were a stoner and you wanted like cool new ways of consuming marijuana, basically. Yes. And you know, in the coffee shops in Amsterdam, they've got those volcano vaporizers that have like the balloon that fills and then you inhale from the balloon. Very weed coated. And one of the big technologies that kind of emerged that turned vapes from sort of like a weird fixation with odd little hobbyist component into something that was actually like Silicon Valley-ish and slick was the PAX. So
PAX by Plume. Plume being a couple of Stanford lads in the design school, and they were two dart smokers who were like, why do we like cigarettes? A, they're cool. B, the nicotine. But we don't like the fact that it gives us cancer. What if we could fix that?
Yeah. And I remember when the PAX first... Because I don't think it was ever... Well, it wasn't ever legally sold in Australia, I'm quite sure.
I bought a PAX by Plume. I had it imported.
Yeah, yeah.
Because like they were trying to make a tobacco product, but their first one, was... You had a little kind of chamber in the bottom, and basically it was just fundamentally good for smoking weed. Like the PAX by... I bought it for smoking weed.
Like, no, and most people did.
Yeah.
And I remember someone showing it to me. This would have been... you know, probably 2013 or 2014 or so. And I remember, because you know how it had like the four lights on the front?
Yeah.
And they had installed like a game on it. It was like Simon Says, where like...
I didn't have that.
Well, someone had done this.
I had like V1.
Yeah. Well, because it had four lights in like a circle.
Yeah.
And like someone had installed like a Simon Says game where like it would, you know, the lights would play in a sequence and you'd try to repeat the sequence.
That's pretty funny.
And I was like...
We've gone too far.
And I was like, this is the device you use to smoke weed, I guess. and this is cool to you.
Yeah.
But yeah, they were quite popular. But yes, again, you could put tobacco in it. A lot of people did.
Yeah.
But yes, it was...
Well, it was like a chamber that you'd literally just put like dried weed or... Well, I mean, in my case, dried weed, but presumably dried tobacco.
Yeah.
And then it kind of heats it up and vaporizes it and you kind of suck it in out the top. But it was a nice experience. Like they literally took a lot of inspiration from the iPod back then. You know, they were like, that was kind of their key. They were product designers.
They were trying to think about it in those terms. It's worth remembering at the time, all the tobacco companies thought this stuff was basically bullshit. They're like, this is, you know, they were mostly focused on how can we sort of slow down regulation,
minimize
taxes. You know, this was the era when cigarette companies were taking Australia. Court.
Yeah, via like Angola or whatever. Yeah. It was like they made the Angolan government sue. Asterix, I don't know if it was Angola.
It was.
But like via basically some third party country that like might have grown tobacco, taking them to, like, you know, the international
trying to force Australia to take away its, like, plain packaging regime. This is what the tobacco companies were most focused on happening, and they looked at this stuff, and if they thought anything about it, they were like, this is more of a threat than something than we actually want to get involved with.
We've tried this shit. No one likes it. It's for nerds. Yeah,
no one likes it. It is for nerds. Anyway, so the guys at PAX, as the company used to be called Plume before it became PAX Labs, they invented the Juul. And the Juul is basically, in the second half of the 2010s, is the thing that elevated vapes from being kind of a curiosity, something that tech-forward stoners were interested in, into something that was actually a cultural touchstone.
I think we need to pause here, actually. On the, remember Vape Guys?
I
was like, where your clouds were kind of like the number one thing you were gunning for. Like, you wanted your clouds.
You wanted, like, fat clouds of vape fog.
Yeah.
And you would do tricks with it and shit.
And that was cool. And I was working at Channel 7 at the time, because this is back in the day. You were probably at university or maybe high school. I don't know.
I was in playgroup, mate.
You're probably just graduating.
I was learning about C-spot run.
All of a sudden, you were like, what do you mean I go to multiple different classrooms a day? I'm not prepared for this yet. Anyway, you're probably sitting there at home just waiting to see if you got into your selective school, you know, waiting for the letter to arrive.
Anyway, move on.
I was at Network 7, and I remember distinctly one day, walking in or out or whatever, there would always be like a couple of fellas just puffing the hugest fucking clouds of vapor out of their mouth. Like, ridiculous, as in utterly ridiculous. And then I remember going to IT one day and I was like, oh, it's the vape guy. Like, it's, oh, these are the guys I see outside puffing those insane clouds. And he had every single, like he had lined up about 25 different mobile phones. I think it's like every mobile phone he'd ever owned. Sports betting on one side and a vape forum on the other monitor.
That's a real, he was ahead of the curve on everything, I think.
Like,
sports betting and vaping. That's just what American culture is right now.
I can't log into my computer. Can you fix it?
Yeah, you don't really see that very much anymore. The idea of, like, people, the way they get into, like, vaping culture is by doing, like, tricks and blowing a huge amount of smoke.
Yeah,
like,
that doesn't...
Or vape.
I think, like, big, insane, obnoxious clouds of vape are, like, no longer really a thing.
No, it's not really a thing. You know, and there was that weird, like, crossover point where, like, people thought, oh, it's not technically illegal for me to, like, vape on the train or whatever.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Before they actually clamped down and said, you can't vape on the train.
Real fedora hat stuff.
Yeah, exactly. Again, it's very nerd-coded. Yeah. The Juul definitely changed this.
Absolutely changed it.
So to distinguish between, like, just for people that don't know, a vaporizer, like a traditional vaporizer, is what you describe with the packs. It's got like a little chamber where you actually put sort of like dried tobacco leaf or weed leaf or whatever it is you're vaping.
Weed butt.
You put it in a little chamber, it ignites it and turns it into a vapor, which you inhale. E-cigarettes use like a little capsule of oil, essentially, like nicotine oil, weed oil, whatever, that gets transferred.
Or salts,
nicotine salt, whatever. It's like a little pot of some sort of concentrate that you then inhale, whatever. The Juul, again, came from PAX Labs, from these same guys, and it was super sleek, sort of a USB drive-shaped little rectangle, which was activated by you sucking on it. There was no button to press or anything like that. And it came with little oil canisters or salt canisters or whatever you want to call it, which you could buy and insert into your little Juul. It was very sleek. It was very cool.
It was very cool. Again, it took them years and years and years. And, you know, they struggled to get funding. Finally found some people who would give funding to... Because, like, a lot of kind of VCs, like LPs have, like, conditions on what they want to fund or whatever. Hard to fund Vice. Vice is like a category.
Vice is tough. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But you know, they found people who were willing to invest and, but they really went that VC route. Like, this is San Francisco, you know, Bay Area trying to build a tech product.
Yep,
and hence why, like, and you know, very inspired, by Apple and, you know, these beautiful products.
Totally.
And this beautiful experience.
And that's where they're like, that's where the PAX Labs and then the Juul HQ is, because they spun it off. And the reason they... So we'll get into a bit of the jewel craze in a second, but they spun it off from PAX, A, to get investment, because it was like a hyper-growth product as opposed to PAX, which was a bit more of a niche idea. But also PAX was, as you said before, very much associated with marijuana, which is not what they wanted brand-wise for Juul to have to deal with. When they were looking for like approvals and going through the FDA in the US, they didn't want like the...
You're the weed company.
You don't want the weed company, because that makes it very hard to...
Especially as weed wasn't legal.
I mean, now it might be a little bit less challenging, but still a bit of a challenge. But yeah, Juul took off, and the controversial thing, and fair enough, is that, as many said at the time, they are targeting teenagers to use this. They want teenagers sucking on the vape pen.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, like, one of their first hires, like within 10 hires, was like a model influencer. And this is back in like the PAX days, that would go along to bars, and they had a bunch of basically like 19-year-old to 23-year-olds who would go to the coolest bars in San Francisco and like set up a little table of like jewels for people to try like the different flavors, which, you know, is another thing from the start. They were very keen on like, we're going to have different friggin' flavors.
Yeah.
But from early days, they weren't targeting, even though like the communication was, this is for people who smoke cigarettes to have a healthier alternative to cigarettes, where they can still have the nicotine, because nicotine, this is their words, not mine, I don't know, is not inherently bad for you. It's the, you know, combustion of the smoke or whatever in the lungs. So we want to transition. But from very early, their strategy was like, we're not targeting 2-pack-a-day smokers. We're targeting people who like are social smokers or in that world. So from early days, it was already kind of targeted at young, cool people. But I mean, like anything, it's like they had the dial there in front of them. Do we turn up the young dial?
Yeah, the young dial. Well, exactly. Actually, we should probably mention, to take a broader view, yes, the pitch of Juul and other e-cigarettes from relatively early on, even from Honlick, the first guy that invented it, because he did it because his dad got lung cancer. The idea was, we need to find a healthier alternative or some sort of smoking cessation device. The idea that our target market, in a very noble way, is people who smoke, you know, these are two-pack-a-day people that need to get off it onto something that maybe it's not perfect, but it's a little bit healthier
than
sucking, you know, the tar and the chemicals into your lungs from a cigarette. But once you got the Silicon Valley brain sort of firing, what's the long-term growth outlook for that?
Well, yeah, or like, you know, you sit down and you do, you know, your kind of analysis or whatever, where it's like, why do people like smoking? Well, they see it in the movies, you know, it's cool. It gives you like a slightly, an edge. You're like alternative. You stand out from the crowd. You're fashionable. You know, you're hot or whatever. That doesn't lead to like a product that's targeted at 60-year-olds who are 2-pack-a-day smokers.
Who don't want to get lung cancer.
No.
And you know, at the end of the day, nobody wants to build like a hot new Silicon Valley product where the ultimate goal is for people to not use your product anymore.
Yeah.
Which is what follows from, it's a smoking cessation thing.
Yeah, yeah.
At the end of the day, like, you're pitching yourself as the lesser evil. And if you pitch yourself as lesser evil, you are implicitly saying, we would love it if you never used our product as well. We're a little bit better. Which isn't great. But yes, Juul, I mean, to this day, they still argue that they weren't going after teenagers, but they very obviously were. A, they were getting sort of like hip young influencers to use Juul. Some of the places where they were placing ads, lots of like teenage-focused publications and platforms had Juul advertising displayed online. And yes, they had flavors like, as I flagged at the beginning of the episode, like, you know, creme brulee and like fun, nice flavors.
Fairy floss.
Which again are clearly targeted at people who like smoking but don't like cigarette flavor, which is a very specific thing and many people don't enjoy. So yeah, that was going on. That completely caused vaping to explode. The stats absolutely skyrocketed across the second half of the 2010s.
Well, yeah, they reckon 1 in 10 US teenagers smoke Juul.
Yeah.
Like, which is pretty significant.
Which is pretty high, especially considering governments across the world, certainly in like the developed world, have put an unbelievable amount of effort into getting people to not smoke.
Yeah, to reduce cigarette consumption.
And it was working.
Yeah, absolutely.
It was working hugely.
Basically, like, cigarette smoking amongst millennials died when indie died.
Yep. As soon as people moved on from the Strokes, there was no reason to smoke anymore.
And Interpol, you know, when the last Interpol fan didn't, you know, download the latest album, that was the last cigarette smoked.
That was the death knell for it. At the same time as this, when Jewel was going nuts, the cigarette and tobacco concerns sort of woke up and were like, okay, this is it.
We might have missed the boat here.
We've probably missed the boat, but
we're big.
They're looking at the numbers and being like, okay, they're actually getting young people onto the nicotine carousel, which we've just given up on and they had completely lost. And we're fighting an uphill battle with regulation. We need to get into this.
Yeah. How do we do it? Do we just do what Juul does and hire 25-year-old models who look like they're 16 for our ads?
No.
Use millennial pinks and purples or whatever.
Yeah. No, they basically tried to acquire these companies, like this new generation of vape companies, or invest and obtain a significant stake of them, and basically go smokeless. So it was a big campaign to essentially turn themselves into these sort of upstanding companies that were trying to stop people smoking.
Mm.
And the way to stop people smoking is to go smokeless.
Mm.
You know, the jury is still out as to whether vaping is significantly better for you than smoking cigarettes.
We're not here to litigate this.
The jury's still out. And also, it's one, you know, it took people a while to figure out that smoking was bad for you.
Yeah, that's true.
So it does actually take a long time to figure out.
It was like a 20-year debate over whether smoking is bad or not.
Yeah. So we're going through that again. But anyway, you know, Philip Morris, that used to be one of the biggest, well, you know, still is one of the biggest tobacco companies in the world, got a new parent company, got Altria.
Mm.
Very nice. Sort of like slick tech medical sounding. They acquired like a 30% stake in Juul. Basically, every tobacco company, British Tobacco, Japan Tobacco, they all either developed their own sort of smokeless or vape brand or acquired one. And if you go to any of these websites now, they are fully in on the branding of like, we are about smoking cessation. Mm. It's bad. Sorry. Our bad. But we're going to fix it now with vaping.
Obviously, the question is like, is your entire, your total addressable market people who currently smoke that you're trying to transfer off smoking? Or are you thinking that maybe there might be...
There's
a growth avenue here.
I mean, it's impossible. They're not not-for-profits. Like, they need to grow. So, you know, the idea is that people would take this up. And that's basically, you know, what has been shown in the numbers and what caused...
Yeah, but proved it. Like, Juul proved, actually, like, it's highly effective to do this form of advertising with this type of product to young people.
Yep.
Like, they fucking love it.
They love the Juul. And this caused, obviously, global repercussions from public health regulatory bodies who, you know, there are countries like Australia where nicotine vaping has basically...
It's illegal.
It's illegal, except if you get it prescribed to you as part of
a prescription. And if you're like if you're entering the country, you're allowed maximum 2 devices.
Yeah.
Because like, which is actually kind of funny as well, where it's just like, you know, they had to write regulation around like, but what if someone comes from a country where it's legal? Like we can't say like in Australia, you're not allowed to smoke your vape. So 2.
you got 2, brother. And also every single convenience store in every major city.
Everywhere. Sells them.
Sells vapes.
This is the craziest thing about vapes. Like they're literally illegal. And when I was like doing some research for this episode, like they were banned 2 years ago.
Yeah.
Mostly. And like they've increased the banning, you know, like they've kind of turned up the dial on it. But like they're flavored vapes were banned 2 years ago. Now it's like all vapes.
Yeah.
Illegal. It's illegal to have one. It's illegal to buy one, sell one, obviously, blah, blah, blah. But like they are prevalent. Like grog shops I go to, because, you know, I go to some grog shops.
Occasionally. Yeah. You've been known to.
You know, they'll have the, and it's always kind of dog shit, but like a color printer out, like sticking on the back of like the monitor from their cash register with just like banana, you know, raspberry or whatever. And like, you know, 150 hits or whatever. Like, it's so prevalent.
The gray market for vape. And this is like the case globally.
Yeah.
Even in places where they're quite regulated. But even in Australia, which Australia is a standout in terms of tobacco and nicotine regulation and has been forever.
Yeah.
You know, if you want to buy a pack of CDs now, it's going to cost you
$900.
It's going to cost you north of like $60. But people, I guess people still do.
Mm.
But you go into any convenience store anywhere in like the Sydney CBD and ask the nice gentleman behind the counter and he'll turn around and like pull it out of a closet.
Mm.
But anyway, most jurisdictions sort of crack down on it for this youth targeting stuff.
Including Juul was literally suspended from trading.
Yeah. In the US.
In the US.
So, which is obviously their big market. They had an injunction put on them for sale. They couldn't sell anything. That was about 2 years ago. They appealed it to a higher court, which the court allowed them to continue selling.
Yeah, just not fun flavors.
Yeah, no, they completely ended the fun flavors. The only flavors you can get of Juul legally are like menthol.
They've decided that like menthol were allowed.
Yeah. I think like there's a global understanding that menthol is the nicest cigarettes are allowed to taste. A slight minty.
Yeah, kind follow. Of weird minty, like top of mouth thing. Like
you can have that, but certainly not creme brulee. So yeah, they're basically that's what the current sort of situation is. Vapes.
I should say as well though, like with regards to vapes, because I feel like this, especially maybe amongst your friends and my friends, like
yeah.
I actually don't know any friends who are still smoking genuine darts.
No.
Heaps of them smoke vapes.
Yeah, yeah.
Heaps. But like the vape, like as far as global revenue is concerned, around $400 billion annually is spent on cigarettes and around $30 billion on vapes.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing that you got to remember is that this argument is very much a developed world argument.
Yeah, exactly.
Where it's like countries that have had anti-smoking regulation and focus and public health campaigns for decades and decades.
Mm.
But, you know, there are 1.1 billion cigarette smokers globally.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
That's the whole world.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Exactly. And they're not moving on to vapes anytime soon.
They're not getting...
Like, that's some nerd shit.
They're not getting caught up with it. This is a real, like, US, UK, Australia, Canada kind of argument, you know? But it's... regardless of that, the people in developing countries are paying nothing for cigarettes.
Yeah, exactly.
So... even if it's the case that a lot of them are still smoking cigs, the companies are thinking and anticipating there will be no cigarette smokers in the world that are like actually worth anything to us by like 2040.
Yeah.
And I think that's like a generous estimate.
Mm.
So they're like, what's the follow-up? And with this Juul regulation, because again, I'm going to put it out there, I think Juul completely cooked it by just aggressively targeting teenagers.
Well, once they were just in Silicon Valley mindset, right? They were just like, growth at all costs. We have to justify our valuation. What's the best way to grow? And like, that was their growth mechanism. It's like Uber mindset, except like, you're getting people addicted to something.
Yeah,
don't get me wrong. I too get addicted to convenience of transport. But I mean, probably not physiologically.
Yeah.
You remove my Uber and I won't be thinking about it that much other than like vague disgruntlement. You take a Juul off a 13-year-old, you know, they're going
to
be mad.
They're going to be pissed. They're going to run to their room, stomp their feet, do that thing that teenagers do where they're like, fucking flip the bird, like, fuck you.
Back in my day, they would have written an angry blog post about their parents.
Yeah, was that something, the sort of thing you were getting up to? But yeah, totally. But so the problem that they're kind of facing as global, you know, nicotine and tobacco concerns is that the public health regulatory agency, again, America, land of the free, is going through this process for Juul where they're kind of like, we don't really want people using nicotine.
Yeah.
That's like a doomsday scenario for them where they, you know, they're trying to pitch it as like, God, you're so right. Smoking sucks.
Mm.
Smoking cigarettes. Ugh. Yuck. Yeah. Well, I don't know how we ever got into it.
Yeah.
But this vape stuff this vape stuff's pretty cool. Meanwhile, like the public health agencies are like, no, like the addiction nicotine part is what's bad.
Yeah,
that's like a situation for them. But the fun sort of like complicating factor, which again elevates it to a real downround topic with regards to vapes, is there's two things. The one is that the new hotness is like nicotine pouches and ZYN, because this comes out of Scandinavia, Sweden, essentially, like chewing tobacco. Because this is another stat that the tobacco industry loves to elevate, is that Sweden has one of the lowest smoking rates in Europe, has one of the lowest lung cancer rates in Europe. But Sweden has like a thriving tobacco industry, some huge companies which have now been acquired by the major tobacco companies. Because they love like snus, like the chewing tobacco that you like put under your gum, under your lip, against your gum, and other like chewing products, including these kind of like slick, they look like chewable gum, and they're dense with nicotine. You sort of like chew them over the course of your afternoon or whatever and get like a release of nicotine into your system.
Mm.
But the reason they've become so popular, and this, again, brings it into downround areas, is that people are kind of using it as a stimulant.
Mm.
It's become really popular among software developers, programmers, people in the tech industry as kind of like...
the benefits of nicotine.
It's a smart drug. Like, people are like really going on about, actually, this has happened just over the past like 18 months. Nicotine isn't just something you get addicted to and is like, it's nice to have a cigarette with your morning coffee.
Mm.
It actually like increases your IQ by like 10 points.
Yeah.
This is so obviously a massive psyop.
Yeah.
Like the industry. You have to like, they would be loving this shit.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Darts make you smart.
Yeah.
It's literally like darts make you cool, like, but for the current context.
Yeah, and the getting it in like chewable form is like the perfect delivery mechanism. Mm. You know, smoking something, even vaping it, it's a bit much. But if I can get it in like a nice little chewable or pill.
Like a Starbursty thing.
Yeah, there was a profile of Peter Thiel from a couple months ago where he had basically, he told the interviewer, I've basically learned that nicotine improves your IQ by 10 points.
Mm.
So I'm experimenting with like nicotine patches. Again, meant to be something for smoking cessation. They weren't designed for people to get a hit of nicotine.
Yeah. Genius stuff.
And it's also become like conservative code in the sense of like, we built empires on the back of like the smartest people in the world using nicotine.
Yeah, yeah.
And now we're entering like a slovenly, sluggish weed era.
Yeah, exactly. Like the left-wing weed heads have like made society degenerate, but you know, the Ubermensch, the tobacco smokers or whatever, the nicotine indulgers
are out there building the world's best SaaS software.
Yeah, what did you build today?
it's again, it's very funny.
Should see how many Jira tickets these nicotine havers have just like ticked off
pumping
today.
Through. They go, again, they're going through the same fucking argument with like the influencers.
Mm.
They call them Zinfluencers. Hold for applause. It's very good. Where there's a bunch of people like on TikTok who were like, you know, I've been pumping the Zin. I've been cracking through stuff and my I'm now doing a million lines of code a week or whatever.
Yeah, yeah. I'm super efficient in Zoom meetings.
Again, I don't want to sound like your mum. But like anyone who has known throughout their life a serious like cigarette addict, they're not necessarily high performers, partly because they're taking a bunch of smoke breaks. But as with any addictive substance, like you get very rapidly to a point where you're just like taking it to achieve baseline level.
Yeah, yeah,
you're
not using that's the idea, right?
Yeah.
It's like you fulfill your craving in order to feel as normal as other people do.
Baseline.
Yeah, yeah.
And if you
not to lecture,
no,
however,
we're not lecturing you. I'm a little bit skeptical in the idea of nicotine as like a broad based cognitive enhancer.
Yeah, I don't know if it's a great idea to be constantly exposing yourself to a highly addictive substance at all times. I don't know if that's that wise.
No,
that's gut instinct. I'm not a doctor.
No.
But I just feel like intentionally giving yourself something that your body will have a physiological dependency on is maybe not that wise, despite claims of potential efficiency boosts.
Yeah, yeah. I think that's fair to say. But again, like a lot of these, certainly like these Swedish nicotine pouch companies have been acquired by the tobacco giants, like your Altria's and your British American Tobacco, because again, this is like another potential avenue to our core product, which is growing tobacco and selling it to people in some sort of format.
Mm.
But we just need to find the format that is A, going to appeal to a new generation of tobacco users or nicotine users.
Okay, I've got an idea.
Yep.
Downround. I don't know if we call it like, it's a Downy. It's like Downy, but like with an umlaut over the O.
Okay.
And it's a nasal spray. It's like a nicotine nasal spray. That can be like the next ingestion format. Or like, it's like, we'll just get hot models to just be like nasal spraying themselves, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Like maybe we can get some like footage of like people at some sort, like it's kind of like a slick club.
Mm. Yeah,
slick club scene. There's a bunch of like hot people sitting at a booth.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, there's an ice bucket with champagne. You got Moe going.
Yeah, and they're
they're talking about what's going, just giving a hit.
Bang.
Bang.
We've got a Burning Man and just like hand him out and everyone's just
hitting it. Bang, bang. That's good. God, chewable's not that chic to me, you know?
I know. I mean, there was chewing gum panic again, maybe like 2 decades ago, which I would, this is a complete just like brain bubble on my, but I reckon like, you know, Singapore banned chewing gum.
Yeah.
I feel like that was just because of like the late 90s slacker kind of gum chewing epidemic. Like, no one really chews gum that much anymore, right? Like, it's not really a thing. Like, it's not a thing so much as that country would fucking ban it.
No, totally. Because
it's such a problem.
I mean, but I think chewing gum has really receded to the point where it's like, you do it because you need to freshen your breath.
Yeah.
And like, maybe you're sitting at your desk and you just need something to do with your mouth or whatever. But there was definitely a point where it was like a real, like, I'm giving a finger up to authority by loudly chewing gum at all times. And Lee Kuan Yew was like, not in my country.
Absolutely not. But so, I mean, they've got a tough time possibly in Singapore.
Yeah, totally. Yeah.
But I'm sure they've already factored that into the models.
They would have to. But it's yeah, we're at a really interesting point where it's kind of like the tobacco companies have almost executed a sort of life-saving transition where it's like we are getting people in the developed world who have been under the boot of their oppressive public health agencies to actually onboard into nicotine.
Yeah, yeah.
And again, a reminder, if you go to any of the websites of any of these companies, they are so on the front foot with, this is a smoking cessation aid. The idea is that if you're already addicted to nicotine, addicted to cigarettes, you can do this and it's going to be better for you.
Yeah, despite the fact that we probably should mention there's a way higher concentration of nicotine in vapes. That's kind of one of the like the attractions to it, right? Like it's there's heaps of nicotine in it, more than a cigarette.
You can get a huge... It's the same as like, you know, all the weed products they have, the CBD.
Everything's getting stronger.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, I'm a mid guy. I'm old, once again.
Only mids. For like, everything.
Yeah. I'm mid.
You're mid.
I'm in the bell curve mid. I am...
You are the perfect consumer.
Exactly.
You're at the front of the middle of the bell curve. Whether it be like how spicy your beef vindaloo is.
Mild.
Okay, so you're on.
No. I like spicy food. That's my edge.
You're in the middle, you know?
I ate the hottest vindaloo in the world.
Where?
In Bolivia.
The hottest vindaloo in the world is in
Bolivia? Yeah, because Andean chilies are the hottest. And so there's a famous Indian restaurant in Bolivia that... And if you finish the vindaloo, you literally get a t-shirt.
This doesn't sound like the behavior of a mid guy who only likes mid experiences.
What, going backpacking through South America and eating the hottest vindaloo in the world?
Okay, you know,
I totally agree. That's edgy as.
That does sound pretty mid. Anyway, they're at an interesting point. They actually got onboarded new customers. I stress, this is the developed world. The developing world still loves their darts.
Love chuffing.
And they have... You know, all their your British American Tobacco and your Altria, they've got thriving outposts all across the world in countries where people still love smoking cigarettes. But they still sit writing on the wall. They thought vapes might be it, and they still kind of do. But the public health agencies of the world are sort of wise to them. It's still up in the air as to what the FDA is going to do about Juul, as an example, or whether they're going to crack down and say this shouldn't be allowed at all. You know, Donald Trump and then Joe Biden have both made sort of claims that this vaping thing is no good, needs to go away.
I will say, like, I do think that advertising nicotine to children is not good. Let me be clear.
Okay.
But, like, it is kind of wild that Australia's just, like, flat-out banned it. I guess that the broader strategy is, like, you know, the New Zealand strategy is we literally just don't want any smoking in New Zealand. And I know that there was like back and forth legally. I'm not fully across the case, but the government essentially was like tried to ban, basically like by 2030 or whatever it was, we want no more cigarettes sold in New Zealand at all. That's been overturned, blah, blah, blah. But I assume that the long-term strategy of Australia, which is obviously culturally pretty similar to New Zealand, is to outright get rid of cigarettes at some point.
Yeah.
And like, despite the fact vaping, not a scientist, but it does seem to potentially be not as bad as cigarettes.
Yeah. I mean, one of the things that really kicked off the American freak out about it was that a lot of people were presenting to American hospitals with...
Yeah. But a lot of that was like...
But it was... A lot of that was defective.
Yeah. Like that had weird fucking vitamin E in it.
Like the oil and the devices were also lit because they were buying cheap fucking vapes off.
Yeah.
Again, you know, it seemed a lot of that was... not the actual quality of vaping itself. But again, as we said before, who fucking knows?
Who fucking knows?
Are all these teens going to have like popcorn lung in 20 years? We don't really know.
Yeah, yeah.
Jury's out.
Like, but it doesn't seem... It seems to me, just as a regular Joe...
As a regular mid guy.
Yeah, the voice of Middle Australia, that like, the probably, health-wise, it's better to not chuck non-air in your lungs.
Yep. I think we can all agree with that.
You know, a bit of hydrogen's probably okay, but, you know, try and keep it to hydrogen and oxygen. You know?
If possible.
That's the ideal. But, like, surely it goes like that. At the moment, presumably vaping, and then after vaping, cigarettes is, like, what you really don't want to be doing. So, like, I don't know, the governments, like in particularly the Australian government, being like, no, we're just flat out banning it. A, maybe that's based on, like, too many kids are being onboarded to, like, banana smoothie fucking vapes or whatever it is. You know, Choc Top, you know, vape or, you know, God knows. Like, Bluey vape.
See, there are some... If they hadn't put their foot down, there would be some great crowbarring opportunities.
Yeah. Like, I don't know. Maybe it's just like, oh, fuck this. There's just too many people getting addicted to nicotine and it's just onboarding them to cigarettes as opposed to the other way around. But it does feel a little bit weird that it's like just flat out banned to the thing that's probably not as bad as cigarettes.
Well, yeah. I mean, that's... Yeah. I kind of agree. I mean, if it is... But also, you got to walk the tightrope. And this is what Australia is trying to solve with, like, all right, if you actually want to quit smoking...
You go to a doctor and
go to a doctor, they will prescribe you a nicotine vape.
Or weed. Like, we're worth mentioning. Like, Australia's basically in the kind of California 2015
zone of like medical.
Medical marijuana is just like prescribed so
very
easily.
You can go to a telehealth appointment and say I experience anxiety on planes and you'll get like a weed vape.
I get headaches.
It's like when? Oh, you know.
Sometimes.
At times. And you'll probably get a weed prescription. Yes. And maybe we'll do an episode about that kind of stuff.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. Big THC.
And what's going on in that realm. But yeah, for now, I guess all we can say is that if you're vaping as you listen to this, cut it out.
Cut it out and get our nasal spray.
Buy the Down Round branded nicotine nasal spray. Thank you very much.
If you're listening to this, did you know there's another world out there where you get a second episode of Down Round a week?
Yep, it's called Down Round Premium.
That's right, and there's no interruptions.
No interruptions, no ads, two episodes a week, including the free one you're getting right now, plus another one.
Yep, $7 a month, not a week, a month, downround.net. Downround.net, instant access to the whole back catalogue as well. You've got so much to catch up on.
There's so much. Get around it.